Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's happening? How is everybody today? Good Monday to you here on the show. Tiki and Tierney coming to you from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home, much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams for 30 years. They've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button. Get mortgage on this sporting Monday around the country. A little bit of everything. Some XFL, some hoops, both college and pro. Lefty Wilton down the stretch on the back not a pebble. And by the way, you know, we have said this, Teak, for I would say probably 5 or 6 months. We've really positioned the offseason as probably the most volatile in anticipation of the quarterback market with all the changing possibilities and all the names everybody knows. But now the sentiment's growing, and we've surmised or at least speculated about Drew Brees here as well. The sentiment is growing quickly, strongly, that they might be ready to hang it up, retire.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about because he's so good last year. It's not like he looked like he was ready to walk away from the game, but having walked away from the game like I did when I had 1,600 yards, I can get it. Like, if you're ready to go, it's time to go. But interestingly, I think that Drew Brees is at a spot, and I would rarely say this about a player in the NFL because the game is so brutal and atrocious and the seasons are long. I mean, like, painfully long, especially when you're 40 years old as Drew Brees is and getting himself ready to go. But I almost feel like he owes it to the Saints to give it one more run, BT. So if you think about, like, why you retire. One is because you're physically beat up.
Mm-hmm.
He's not physically beat up. Like, you can't hit quarterbacks anymore. He's been protected for the last, you know, half a decade, maybe even more, from being really, you know, getting teed off on. So there is no, like, injury issue like we see with some of these linebackers. Luke Kuechly, who most recently had to retire.
Patrick Willis.
Exactly. So guys who
he's pretty healthy, I would agree.
Cam Newton was like, I'm thinking about retiring. I'm only 31. I'm going to I can see it.
Yeah, he's been
beat up, man, for a lot of his career. I would get it. Mm-hmm. Drew Brees doesn't have that excuse. The second reason would be like, well, you know, they're just, like, underappreciating me. They're not paying me what I think I'm worth, and, you know, I don't want to fight with them. They pay Drew Brees a ton of money every single year. Even if it's two-year deals or one-year one-off deals, Drew Brees is getting paid because he's elite and he's a Hall of Famer, first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the best quarterbacks in football. So it's not about money. It's not about attrition. It's not about money.
Okay.
Then you could say, well, you know, God, we're just not close. God, we're so far away. I don't think we're going to win a Super Bowl. You can't even say that. Yeah, They've been right there for the last 2 years, 3 years, really, if you think about the things that have happened to them down the stretch. So, like, when I think about the excuse, like the potential excuse for Drew Brees, none of the logical ones make sense unless he's just really tired of it. But in my mind, as I was dissecting this weekend, I'm like, God, he owes it to them to go back and give it one more shot because they are so close. They are so close to getting to another Super Bowl and winning it. And his legacy will be defined relative to his peers, those, you know, like Peyton Manning of the world, Eli's, et cetera, based on whether or not he wins another championship.
But don't throw Eli in.
I'm just talking about championship-wise.
Eli,
just
ten times better than Eli.
Yeah, but people will say, well, Eli had two championships.
And they're idiots who didn't watch football.
It's not about who was better. It's just Eli had two championships, right?
Yeah, I can't deny that.
Drew Brees has one.
Drew's got the one.
So,
but he's got it for the city of New Orleans.
Oh, he's iconic.
He's iconic. In a rough spot,
as
we know.
Agreed.
So you're going to stick to the word O's. You sure you don't want to, you know, twist or tweak or manipulate that?
He
or
owes it
frame
to
that differently.
I'm going to stand
he
up
owes
here.
It to
he
him.
He's owes it to him.
Owes it to him.
Let's run it back one more time.
We're going to run it back.
And I guarantee you all of his teammates who are trying to implore him to stay are saying the same thing.
Okay.
And I guess a lot of this depends on what happens with Teddy Bridgewater. But so let's say Teddy Bridgewater, who was a free agent.
Yep.
You can't count on him being there. Right now, it's Drew Brees' team.
He owes them one thing.
What's that?
Timing. That is the only thing Drew Brees owes the New Orleans Saints. Not a damn thing else. And here's why, T. The combine's coming up. Mm-hmm. Obviously, free agency blast right in, right off of that extends into it. The draft. Now, the complication of the depth chart, if Teddy Bridgewater wasn't there and it was Drew Brees, Taysom Hill, and a guy wearing a baseball cap that nobody cared and nobody hoped played, or everybody hoped didn't play.
Yeah.
I think it's a better way to frame it. Then I would say he could probably just drag this, and if he doesn't feel like playing now or committing now, he can do it in April. He could do it at some point during OTAs. He can't do that because of Bridgewater's status and because of the uniqueness of the depth chart here. He doesn't owe the Saints anything but timing to let them strategize, to let them get ready, to maybe abruptly shift course. Now, if he tells them tomorrow, I'm done, guys, I'm going to retire, don't you think it would behoove the Saints to pay Teddy Bridgewater some money?
Yeah.
Just in case Taysom Hill's not ready, we surmise he might be.
Look.
But just in case he's not.
I think Taysom Hill is one of the most unique players I've ever seen in the NFL.
And
really.
He's Teddy Bridgewater. He's Ted Tebow. What am I? Right. He's Ted Tebow. Wow. He is Tim Tebow.
That's right.
Who can throw.
That's right.
That's what I was trying to say.
Who can understand an offense deeply. And I mean, Ted maybe Tebow. Tim could have, but he just didn't have he didn't have the skill set, Tim Tebow, to be a starting quarterback long term. Like, gimmickly, he was great. And he could win some games somehow.
Mm-hmm. He got it done. Game Steelers,
but
hit Sanders.
But
ADR.
Taysom Hill is so compelling. I almost want to see him try to be an every down quarterback just to see if he can do it.
Yeah,
just to see what
I think you'd have to almost must watch Saints. They're must watch anyway.
Agreed. Because
you wouldn't lose that if Drew retires. And now they're not must watch if Bridgewater's there. As evidenced by his 5-0 record, he's obviously good.
Oh, he's very good.
And they can sustain it. But I feel like you have to watch Taysom Hill.
That's right. And so he's also he's a restricted free agent, even though Sean Payton has said he thinks that he's going to get some offers. And again, I would.
Yes.
If I'm another team and I want to, not a, because it's too cheap to call him a gimmick player because he's not just a gimmick player.
No.
He is the utility, like the ultra utility player. That we just haven't seen in the NFL. Like, nobody does as much as he can do.
Cordell Stewart.
That's exactly right, but stronger.
But maybe better.
Better, because he's bigger.
Yes.
He can be a fullback as well as a tight end or a wide receiver or a running back. Uh-huh. Oh, and by the way, he can throw the ball, too.
He's Antoine Randall-El, but better.
So they're in good shape, but, I mean, the Saints, if Drew Brees should decide to retire, but, yeah, doesn't it just feel really different if Drew Brees isn't a New Orleans Saints next year?
I don't think he's as good as you think he is.
Why? How can you say that?
I watched him. He's not quite the same.
Of course he's not. He's 40 years old. I mean, he's not the same.
But
as
I mean measured, fair.
But
I mean measured against the last season and really maybe even measured against the start of this season. He just missed some throws. Now maybe it was the thumb. I don't know.
You mean last season, the 2018 season, and then
2018 into 2019,
yes.
And maybe even to be fair, the first part of 2019 versus the latter part of 2019. Again, he's certainly an asset. Of course, you can win with him, but I saw him miss. What's his calling card?
Yeah,
accuracy, right? Okay,
no matter where it is, whether it's 5 yards or 35 yards.
Mm-hmm. I saw him miss some throws. I never see a miss. I'm not trying to expedite the departure of one Drew Brees. The NFL's better when Drew Brees is in it.
Yeah.
But he doesn't owe him anything, and if he retires, I kind of think they'll be fine.
But doesn't he owe it to himself to try to give it one more run?
No,
And that's
how could you say that as the former player in the room?
Yeah, true.
He owes it to make himself happy.
Well, again.
That's it.
Maybe that's it.
Though. Maybe he's happy if he retires.
Maybe that's it. Maybe I don't see how he could be unhappy. Like, I can understand how a running back or a linebacker or a lineman could be unhappy because you getting the crap beat out of you, man, and it's atrocious, and you feel worn out from, you know, whatever it is, Monday or Tuesday, depending on if you play Sunday night or Monday night through the next weekend, and it's just like, oh, I got to do this again. You're
a
quarterback. It's not the same. Yes, you have like the shoulder wear and it's the mental preparation, but I mean that part of it, I think he's mastered to the point where, you know, I can't even say this. Maybe this is it. Maybe this is the point. Maybe he doesn't want to master it anymore,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it is a mental grind that we can discount sitting here watching it from afar. Like, I have no idea what he goes into.
No, but you do, because we've talked about it. Think about his path to mastery, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Think about, now we saw Dak doing those ridiculous hip swivels, whatever the hell that was.
Yeah.
Drew Brees goes out and mentally reps every single snap
mm-hmm.
before a game.
Yeah.
Maybe he just doesn't want to do it.
Yeah. But they're so close, though. That's why. This is the only reason I'm saying this is because I think they're really close.
I agree. They're close.
And not that I feel cheated, but I feel like, man.
A great career will not be received the way it should be without the second chip.
That's right.
Then shame on us. Maybe.
But it's also because he's gotten so close. You know what I mean? Whether it was Minnesota or
3 years in a row, he's been knocking.
Or the Rams, yep. or even last year, it's just like every year they're right. They're the best team in the NFC, right? Or one of the best teams, one or two in the NFC. It's not like they're we're just sneaking into the postseason. Mm-hmm. They're like one of the best teams in the conference.
Don't dispute it.
And one of the favorites to make it for three straight years. That's hard to do.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And
agreed.
So they're right there. They have all the talent in Kamara, and Michael Thomas, and. Taysom Hill, Jared Cook, they turn into Jared Cook, their tight end, they turn into a star.
Last very good. When he got hurt against the Niners, I think it was a concussion.
Yep,
the whole game changed.
Yep, he got knocked out in the first quarter.
In the end zone, if I'm not mistaken. The whole game changed.
I think it was a touchdown. It shouldn't have been because he dropped the ball, but they kind of gave it to him because he got knocked out. But the game changed, and that's how the 49ers came back and beat him. So, I mean, if they weren't close, I wouldn't have this take. But because they're so close, and if they have to start over, I get it. Teddy Bridgewater is good. But 80% of Drew Brees, is that not equal to 100% of Teddy Bridgewater?
Honestly, at this point, I can't say for sure that it is.
Mm.
I can't say for sure. And by the way, when we say things like that, there's never a way to quantify it. Trust me, I know. It's just a way to reinforce somebody's greatness.
Yeah.
You know, 75% of Tiger Woods with screws in his back is better. I know what you mean. But, watching Teddy and watching
Taysom. Teddy was good.
And watching Drew.
Teddy was good.
I don't know if 80% of whomever is better, of Drew is better than whomever.
This might
or at least
be,
those
this
two
might
guys.
Be what it is. Mm. Drew Brees is that NFL player. Who he's not on your team, right? You probably never even met him, but you root for him.
Absolutely,
right? he is the guy that there's nothing like literally nothing bad you can say about Drew Brees.
Might have the highest Q rating in the NFL.
That's it, without a doubt. There's no like Tom Brady might be the best ever.
But did he cheat?
There's all these little caveats, right?
A little bit.
There is nothing bad you can say about.
Even reference his social media accounts.
Not at all. And we've met him a few times.
Absolutely.
I've met him many times, obviously, because we overlap. But we've met him on the show a couple. He is the greatest
dude
you could ever. And he doesn't. He's unassuming.
Uh-huh.
He's a superstar.
Yeah.
And you just want him to go out the right way, which is win a Super. Like you're there. Go win a Super Bowl so we can really celebrate you going out.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he owes it.
Yeah, but then you'd be in here saying, come back and go for three.
It's almost like he owes it to us.
He doesn't owe it to us.
He owes it to me. I want to see him win another.
Personally,
I am.
It'll be a damn thing.
Because I
know the Saints. Anything, just timing. That's it. Well, I'm surprised at you.
Only
the
because
guy,
it's so
wait,
close.
Wait. The guy who retired.
BT, I was getting the crap.
I know you were, but you were still fairly healthy, man.
Yeah,
you were still pretty good.
I didn't want to do it.
You were really good as a player, but you were still fairly healthy. And I say this jokingly, but it's true. If you would have hung around for one more year and you use 80%, replicated 80% by roughly for one more year, definitely two. There's no doubt you are a 100% lock for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but that's
there's
not
no doubt.
But that's not important to
I understand that. So why would it be important to him?
Because he's already in the Hall of Fame.
I understand that. But from your shoes, a guy who left early, not that you begrudge him, but it's the exact opposite. But and question's not even the right word, but how you position that genuinely surprises me as your partner.
Mm.
Knowing your career path as a player and your broadcasting
quarterback path. Is very different than a running back. Monetarily, it's very different. Like at some point, as a running back who doesn't get paid, you got to go find what's next. You do because it is what it is. Like people will question that, but it's real.
Quarterbacks don't have to think that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much he's made in his career, but I guarantee you it's north of $200 million.
I was going to say 190. It probably is north of 200 at this point.
He could do whatever he wants.
Yep.
He can try to go get in the booth somewhere or do analyst work.
He might go Steve Largent on us.
Or that.
He really might.
Which he absolutely could because his record is absolutely perfect and pristine.
Yep.
And he's loved, beloved, especially in New Orleans and Indiana mm-hmm. with the Purdue. So, I mean, of course. But I just feel like
we saw, Indiana's an important state.
That's right.
That's
right.
I mean, he's loved by all ethnicities, races, all people. He is universally loved.
I think I just want to see him win a second one because we talk about it too often.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. Shame on us, BT.
Yeah.
We talk about it too often with the quarterbacks who only got one. I mean, it used to be just get one. Now it's like, dude, do you have two?
Uh-huh.
Hey, Aaron Rodgers, I know you're greatest ever, but dude, you only got one Super Bowl.
Yeah, but I've divorced myself from that rhetoric.
True.
That's nonsense. I can't stand that line of thinking.
But
I can't get into that anymore.
But still, I feel like
I know what my eyes told me.
I still feel like I want him to win another Super Bowl.
You want?
It's been a long time.
It's been a while. 855-212-4227. So a couple of things to tackle. We'll get to the XFL later. Inbounds, out of bounds as well. A little something on the Mookie Betts trade. Bobby Knight. The Duke Carolina stuff. A lot of stuff happened to the Sixers. Some strong comments from their GM, Elton Brand, who's really one of the good young GMs. But coming up, all right, if Breeze does retire, what does that mean residually for not just Teddy Bridgewater, but all the other movable parts in the NFL that Teague and I have talked about for basically the better part of a year? A lot of quarterbacks waiting to see what the next stop is. This could determine what they are. We'll get to some calls, get to that coming up as well. Teague and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Teague and Tierney's 1-855-212-4227, sponsored by GEICO. Whether you own or rent, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote. Go to geico.com. All right, hopefully everybody had a great weekend. Obviously, a lot of viewing choices. We'll get to the XFL coming up next hour, top of the hour. Some good NBA action. Some interesting college finishes as well. A couple of weeks away. It's Selection Sunday.
That's right.
A couple of weeks away. It is Selection Sunday, which is incredible. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up next segment. Got a little something on the Mookie Betts deal, which was able to finish despite now Jock Peterson's kind of left in a lurch. But I'll go and I watched some of the golf. There was a little bit of something all week, including the Joker. Which you and I both, it's funny, I was tweeting something about the Joker.
I wasn't even paying attention to that?
No, he walks in a room, he says, dude, I saw the Joker this week. And I said, I'm tweeting about the Joker.
Only because, obviously, Joaquin Phoenix won Best Actor.
As he should have.
And he was great.
Yes.
But.
We'll get into the Joker a little later. Oof. And all the, I watched most of the Oscars, it was pretty good. Kristen Wiig was, I just got to say, Kristen Wiig is hot.
That was a text last night, I guess.
I texted Tig. I said, you know, Kristen Wiig is on the down low attractive.
Yeah,
I always thought she was attractive.
Yes.
And my wife laughs at me. But she, I think she's always been positioned as more funny than pretty.
That's right.
She is a pretty woman.
She really is.
She's and the bit last night she did with, what's her name? Why am I forgetting her partner in crime? Maya.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They killed it. They were hysterical. So the Oscars, you know, as most of these award shows have some high moments, have some mm-hmm. boring moments, some things that you try for that don't. Eminem was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Eminem came out and rocked
he's
it.
He's always phenomenal.
He gained weight.
He did. Because he's not doing anything. He's producing.
Remember, he used to wear the white T-shirt.
Yep.
Now he's wearing black. He's wearing black.
He's trying to cover up. Parasite, by the way, which I hadn't even heard of.
What about Parasite?
It won all the awards.
Yeah, I know. I did not know much about that
one. About it. Now I got to go find first Korean Oscar winner.
Yes.
And director and best picture. I mean,
ensemble. They took home quite a bit of hardware.
Actually, I got to watch it now because I have no idea what they were talking about.
And I want to see 1917. I have to see that. Mm. That's not the, that's morbid, different from the Joker, morbid. But I don't think I'll go to the movies to see 1917. That's the kind of thing Jen and I will rent. Kids are sleeping mm-hmm. one night, but I definitely want to see 1917. All right, Teague. Here's the thing. Let's assume for the moment, by the way, as much as you think that Breeze owes it to the mm-hmm. Saints,
yeah.
And I don't. I just think he owes them the proper timing
to do it
so they can set things
exactly
up properly.
Right. Don't leave him hanging going through the combine, the draft.
No. And don't let Teddy Bridgewater go somewhere else in free agency and then he's him say, oh, I'm mm-hmm. done. And then you say, well, maybe we wanted Teddy. All right. So That aside, do you believe that he will retire?
I don't think that he will retire. I think he's exploring his options, mm-hmm. like what's available to him. And there's tons of things available for him because, like, quarterbacks have this knowledge of the game that any other player just can't draw on, any other position can't draw on, because they don't have to know it, right? Mm-hmm. They don't have to know what the tackle, guard, center, every wide receiver, all the running backs, and then every single player on the other side. No other position has to know everything.
Who needs to know the second most? Probably the running back, right? For the offensive line?
Yeah, probably, because of how the offensive line moves. So if you get a turn protection, then you got to go back. Now you're responsible for two guys on the backside. You get a, you know, it's complicated for the running back, but not nearly as complicated.
That's why they get $40 million a year now.
Yep, as a quarterback. It gets a little bit more complicated for the running backs when they push them into wide receiver roles, because you basically just got to know the role, like the route from the position, whether you're in the slot or all the way outside. Doesn't matter what the play call is. So it's a little bit more complicated, but quarterbacks make great analysts because they're used to seeing everything.
Mm-hmm.
I give you an example. So when I used to go watch film, me and Gerald Ingram, this is pre-stealing all of BT's whiskey. we would sit in the film room, BT, and we'd sometimes look at the front, because the front would sometimes dictate what stunt they're going to do. So we'd look at the four down linemen, be like, they're in an over, they're in an under. Words that don't mean anything to the lay fan. But what we would look at is the linebackers. Mm-hmm. Like, how do they move, right? Where are they when they get into, a one on the end of the line of scrimmage and two in the box, what's coming from there? So we would study that second level because
that's where you get the guess, most pertinent.
Exactly. Yeah. That was most pertinent to us. Quarterback's got to see everything up front. Uh-huh. Got to see everything in the second level. Uh-huh. Then he's got to notice the rotations in the secondary. Then he's got to know the adjustments that every wide receiver makes for each one of those adjustments on both the second and the third level, and be able to communicate that or react to it when it happens in real time. So when they become analysts, it's like Tony Romo. This is why Tony is amazing.
Yep.
Because he sees a little shift in the D tackle shading a little bit to the left, which means a stunt's coming, which means the linebacker's got to plus out, and they got to cover that in the secondary, and so he can see holes before the play even starts. Drew Brees could do that, and so I think the one thing he's probably exploring is, do I want to get into TV and analyst work, because he'd be great at it. Really, any quarterback who can communicate, and he is a great communicator, as we've seen. He'll be a star on TV whenever he decides to do that.
I don't disagree. So I actually think he might retire a little more than you do.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just say for the conversation, to push this forward, that he does retire.
Yep.
Because the tease was the dominoes, by extension, the residue from a possible retirement.
And by the way, this is why we're talking about it now, because to BT's point, he's got to let them know.
The combine's coming up, free agency is right after it.
That's right.
So if he retires, let me attack this in a couple of short bursts, a couple of short blasts here. If he retires and you're running the Saints, you keep Taysom or Hill as your starting quarterback, Taysom or Bridgewater.
I would keep – that's a hard one, man. It's a really tough one.
Well, these aren't easy to set. I mean, that's why you run the team.
Either one of them are – so, collectively, I actually would try to keep both. Which is going to be hard to do.
That's not financially prudent. Can't do that.
Collectively, they're going to be less expensive than Drew Brees.
I disagree. So, I disagree. Teddy's getting at least 20-something. And Taysom Hill's not going to get a starting job for $9 million. Absolutely. Now, it might be negligible to an extent. It's not going to be like $53 million. What did Drew make last year? 35?
31? I forget what it was.
Was it low 30s? It's not going to be a $20 million disparity, but
no.
I believe Teddy Bridgewater's going to make $20 million this year.
I mean, how? He hasn't started.
He's going to be a starting quarterback.
He is, but...
Who went 5-0 without Drew Brees?
Maybe.
He's getting 20, Teak.
So much of that's going to depend on what he makes. If that's the case, I might go Taysom Hill.
Okay. So if you would go Taysom Hill, then obviously Teddy's going to say peace, and Teddy's going to get paid. What's the most logical landing spot for Teddy Bridgewater? Is it the Chargers, who, if you missed it, no surprise, you and I have talked about this for months and basically said that this would happen, but they officially announced that the relationship with Phillip Rivers, great Charger, future Hall of Famer, in all probability, is over.
Yep.
Would you then target Teddy Bridgewater as your top guy?
Honestly, BC.
Because Brady's not going there.
Yeah.
He's not playing for the Chargers.
I mean, Brady's going back to the Patriots. I've said it for 3 weeks. I'm going to keep saying it until it doesn't happen. I don't see him playing anywhere else. Doesn't make any sense for another team. Teddy Bridgewater would be interesting in a bunch of places, BT. The Chargers out in Los Angeles are interesting, but I don't know if they're like ready to win. A team that could be ready to win is in the same division. If the Buccaneers can't work out the right deal, put that in quotes, the right deal with Jameis Winston, he'd be great in Tampa. Because
I actually think the Chargers are ready to win. Somewhat. Well, Derwin James is coming back. They've got, you know, an abundance of offensive weapons. Interiorly, they've got to tighten some things up. I'm not going to start geeking out on their lines here. But, I mean, I think there's enough there where the Chargers, I think if they get really good, because Phillip Rivers was not good late. He just wasn't.
Threw a lot of interceptions.
Yeah. If they get plus quarterback play rather than stagnant quarterback play, they're in the hunt for the wild card.
The question is who wants him. And the thing is, everybody would want him. Indianapolis is a place that you could see Teddy Bridgewater going right into and fitting.
And he's better than Brissett.
That's right.
He's better.
He's right. He fills the same hole that Jacoby Brissett does, but probably a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Indy, I mean, he's going to have plenty of options. But if I'm the Saints and Drew Brees does retire, I think Sean Payton enjoys the versatility that Taysom Hill brings. And the athleticism and the, I don't know, he likes to be creative. And I think Taysom Hill fits that mold.
Okay.
So we'll see.
To be continued, this conversation is not going to be solved in a day, nor is it going away in a day. This is going to be a long, protracted, fun conversation here on Tiki and Tierney. A lot of twists and turns, I would imagine. Axe update is right now coming up. The Mookie Betts deal is done. Why is everybody so ticked off? Get that after Rich right now. Here's Ack. All right, time to ask the pros here on Tiki and Tierney. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Just tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag AskThePros. Make sure you stick around. Listen later on when we might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. So, we'll get to inbounds, out of bounds in a moment here. Top of the hour. Here's what's coming up the rest of the show. Pretty busy Monday, so we'll squeeze it all in for you. The XFL debuts, everything that comes with that. Ratings were pretty good, but so were the initial weekend for AAF. They're actually very close. We'll detail that. The trick is sustainability and then obviously viability for the product, blah, blah, blah. Bobby Knight returned to campus, Indiana, Assembly Hall. We'll get to that. Kevin Durant is beginning to run and shoot. And if you don't think there's a chance that Kevin Durant comes back and plays this season, you're wrong. We'll get to it all. Inbounds, out of bounds. Let's go, D-Cell. What do you got, buddy?
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki, here we go. So NFL sack leader Shaq Barrett's a free agent, as we know, coming up this summer. He's expecting a major payday after seeing the sack total go from 3 in 2018 to 19.5 last year. I mean, if this was baseball, the equivalent, we'd say, what HGH? What steroids are you on? I mean, that's ridiculous. But we had him in Miami, and I'm not inferring that with him. I'm just saying that when people jump home run totals, we always used to raise our eyebrows.
Yeah. Product of opportunity.
Yes, yeah, for sure. As he chronicled to us, we had a great chat with him in Miami. He was on Tierney. Tiki and Tierney said at Radio Row. Said he wants to stay in Tampa, and he also said he would take a discount to stay with the Bucs, which was interesting. However, his reasoning wasn't just about his love for the team, telling SiriusXM Mad Dog Radio, quote, if other teams offer me more than Tampa, I'm going to look at what their taxes are compared to Tampa's because I'm not going to live in L.A. and get taxed crazy. End quote. In or out. In a league with hard salary caps like the NFL, it is an unfair advantage for teams in low-income tax states.
I'm going to say out of bounds here. I know it is a factor. Obviously, there are 5 states that affect this. There are 9 states that have no taxes that we're alluding to here. Florida, Nevada, soon to be Nevada, I should say, Texas, Washington, and Tennessee all have NFL teams, and while some people will look at that as a deciding factor, I think a bigger factor, you know, for some players, depending on what position they play, is what is the economic off-court benefit from being in, say, New York or somewhere else? I can't even think of another team. Los Angeles, for example. If you become a star there, how big of a boon is that for you?
Even with Madison Avenue being mobile?
Even with Madison Avenue being mobile, because the fan base just builds better. For instance, in Tampa, I always felt like Tampa stars, unless you're like Rondé or Derrick Brooks, who are Hall of Famers, and Warren Sapp, who were there for their entire careers, you're kind of at a disadvantage because there's so many transient, like, residents.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, we played the Super Bowl down there. It was all New Yorkers.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I'm going to say out of bounds. I think it factors a little bit, but I don't think it's unfair.
I'm going to say in bounds, but there's nuance here, as there often is. I mean, listen, quite literally, and you can't refute this because Tiki just ripped through the five states with different income tax brackets or none.
Yep.
My dollar stretches literally more than yours.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a fact.
True.
If I'm playing for the Dallas Cowboys or the Houston Texans, I'm going to get taxed far less than I am if I'm playing for the Jets or the Giants.
Yeah.
Fact.
Yeah.
Or the San Francisco 49ers or the Raiders when they were in the East Bay, whatever it might be.
Which makes the Dallas Cowboys, you know, theoretically, the most desirable position, like, team to go to
in football.
Especially
since you get to get on the back end that we talked about with Madison Avenue.
That's right.
And the opportunities for advertisement. Now, I'm acknowledging it hasn't really manifested itself on the field yet.
Mm-mm.
That's why it's a quirky answer.
Yeah.
The way Mike phrased it, is it an advantage? Well, yes, it's an advantage, but it doesn't mean that it's going to come to fruition.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so, yes, some dollars stretch further in other states, as I said. But literally, I don't know that teams have found the way to exploit that to the point. where it's truly a tangible benefit.
Yeah, you don't see the top free agents opting to go to Tennessee, right?
Although, you know what's funny? What'd you say? So it's obviously Florida, it's Texas, it's Washington,
Nevada,
and what's the other one there?
Tennessee.
Tennessee. Tennessee might be, you know, as you start to look at the growth of Nashville, you and I were there for the draft,
which was awesome.
The place is popping. Yep. It's almost like Austin. It's like Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. Music, maybe only bigger.
Yep, music scene, sports scene.
Yeah, very artistic oriented. Yeah. It's very, very cool scene. So that could become, especially if you win, more of an asset down the road. But, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing some sort of mechanism that's triggered that makes everything fully equal. Like if I give you $100 million to play for the Giants versus $100 million to play for the Cowboys, that there's some sort of an acknowledgement. Maybe not even, well, I was going to say for cap purposes, that gets a little nebulous, but no, there's definitely a difference. You can't dispute it. What we can question, how much of an advantage is it? That's debatable.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teague, NBA refs for the focus of a pretty rough weekend. What else is new? They missed a horrific goaltending this weekend, Friday night. This was atrocious.
Yep.
This should absolutely never happen. This is disgraceful. Damian Lillard got hosed. Blazers, Jazz, Rudy Gobert blocked it, but it hit the backboard first. There were 10 seconds to go. You can't do that. It's ridiculous. Now, the goaltend was obvious to everybody, but the refs missed the call, and the play, what do you know, Tiki? It wasn't reviewable, leaving Lillard not happy.
It's an easy call. Three referees out there, and they don't call that. And I don't want to hear no, I don't want to see no report about, oh, we should have called it or none of that. Man, they cost us a game. We in a playoff race, and they cost us a game on an easy call. Ain't no way to take the sting out of it. We can't have the game back. They cost us a game.
It's true.
It's a loss on our record. We in a playoff race, and we need every game that we can get, and we had that type of effort, and they missed that easy call like that. And then you want us to walk away and say nothing? Cost us a game. Of course we're going to have something to say about it, man. That's BS.
He's 100% right. Cannot possibly refute that. Mavs owner Mark Cuban chimed in, ripped the call as well, tweeting, quote, this is not an aberration. In our January 25th game, the NBA admitted there were three missed goaltends in a single quarter. That's 6 points. In or out. The NBA should expand replay to allow reviews of goaltending that weren't called on the court.
Absolutely. This is inbounds. This is so easy, BT. You have replay. You should be able to replay plays like this that are easy to determine. This isn't a subjective call. It's not like, I think, maybe you think it wasn't a touch, but I think it was. It's not that. It's very objective. Mm-hmm. You can see it, right? The ball was touched as it was coming down, which is easy to determine as well, or it hits the backboard. Absolutely, this should be included in bounds.
I agree. Listen, I've sat, press row doing a lot of games, and you can tell most of the time very fast. Maybe on TV, it's not the best angle, but you can tell goaltending if the ball is barely on the way down or if it's still, you know, elevating. And the one that's most egregious to me is when it actually hits the backboard and you block it. Yeah. I don't know how you possibly miss that, but they miss it at every level. The answer is inbounds. Yeah, here's the thing, though. You can do this in a way that doesn't, you know, begin to really fragment the game with unnecessary interruptions. All you do is the referee, as he runs by the scorer's table, count the basket. Then the next time out, you review it. And then you make a determination off the scoreboard like they do it on twos or threes. You know how many times I'm doing a game and a ref walks by and he tells the scorer who's right next to me, count it three or two. Yeah. And they'll make the adjustment on the scoreboard. The first time out, whether it's coaches or a TV timeout, they go right to the monitor. And if they have to add a point or delete a point, they do it.
Yeah.
It's really not a big deal.
Yeah.
I don't want to see stoppage during the game for goaltending. Just make a quick assessment. If you're wrong, you get it 3 minutes later.
You're right.
The hell's so hard about that?
Nothing.
Nothing is right.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, T. So after a bit of a scare, the Mookie Betts to the Dodgers trades finally. We told you this wasn't going to get off the rails. This was going to happen. We also told you the Red Sox would make out better, and they did. They got a better prospect. The kid's name is Jeter. Shortstop.
I saw
for
that.
The Red Sox.
I saw that.
Come on, you can't.
That's his first name, by the way.
I understand that. Who do you think he was named after?
Yeah, of course.
So, all right. It's a done deal, despite a couple of hiccups that nearly killed the deal. However, the Dodgers will not be getting Jock Peterson. Mm. The Dodgers will not be sending him to the Angels as initially planned, which stinks because he was going to hit bombs for them. Yeah, no, I don't know if he's going to play. They have to figure this out. Now, he's arbitration eligible, and his motion to postpone his hearing was denied, Teague, while he waited in limbo to learn where he'd be playing. In 2020, multiple players spoke out as well. They're not happy. They ripped the system where players are left in the dark about their future when deals are reported in the media before they're made official. In or out, it is unfair to players and their families to learn about deals in the media.
I'm going to say out of bounds to this, BT, because I think they're aware of these potential deals way before we even hear about it. So, like, their agents are having these conversations with management, etc. In some cases, maybe not, where there's like animosity, but I don't think that's the case with Jock Peterson. By the way, the Dodgers were able to move the player. I forget what his name was. It had this Tommy John and the shoulder issue. They moved him anyway, so they wanted him off their books. They got rid of him, and they decided. This is on the Dodgers. The Dodgers decided that they wanted to hold on to Jock Peterson. So I get it, but I don't think. This is out of bounds. I don't think they need to be told beforehand.
I agree. I just don't think it's, even if I agreed, I just don't think it's practical. You know, and here's the thing, too. I know that, like, to the average person, it seems a little callous and a little insensitive and maybe even ultimately avoidable.
Yeah.
But what you have to understand, it's really business 101. If I'm the Yankees and Tiki's the Red Sox, I'm making the villain here, even though you're a Yankee fan.
I like the Red Sox.
What? Right, now I don't use you as an example at all because you can't like both.
I like their owners.
Sanders, the Red Sox, even though I know you like the Yankees. I get you. Yeah, Red Sox, Yankees. Hey, listen, we have a deal. We want to send this guy. He's our third best prospect. You're going to send this guy. If we start making calls and Santher as the voice of the Red Sox or the liaison or me as the voice and liaison for the Yankees begin to tell our players, not our clients, our players, what we're about to do, they can sabotage
it. That's right.
They can go on social media and say, I'm not playing for this team. And then the team says, oh, wow, we make this trade. We're screwed. We're out a good player. Yep. We don't get one back. Deal's off. That's why you have to keep it quiet. I mean, it's very basic stuff. So, like the Yankees and the Red Sox, embarrassing the show like that. What are you doing us?
Tom Warner was very nice to me when I had to do a story for the Today Show.
Would you please bust this guy, please?
Dude, he sat me on the first baseline.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds.
I saw you at the game.
You could just say you like Tom Warner. You don't have to say you like the Red Sox,
but Big Poppy was great to me. Coco Chris, I mean, he uses bat for batting practice. For those who don't know the story, I did a story for the Today Show when I was working for them. It's called America the Beautiful. Mm-hmm. So we picked something, right? Amber Waves of Graham, whatever. I did ballparks, baseball ballparks.
That's a good assignment.
Saw a few of them.
Uh-huh.
So Wrigley was one. Which
you take
still
BP at Wrigley?
I did not. But you've never even been yet, so don't even give me anything about it. And then Fenway and Tom Warner.
He was nice.
He took care of us, man. He was great.
The XFL debuted. Pretty good start. Can it sustain itself? We'll get to that coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.